Part of the process of becoming humble to offer respect to others while not expecting any respect for oneself. So certainly Bali Maharaj, being a great devotee of the Lord, exemplifies these qualities enumerated in the Sikshastakam. Also in the Sikshastakam, in the final prayer, Lord Chaitanya describes how a devotee feels in terms of his endeavor to know Krishna and Krishna's reciprocation. He says, Asishava Padartham Vinashtuma. Even if you trample me down with your feet, Vinashtuma means that the Lord is completely free. God is not bound by our situation. Even if we desire to know God or to have a relationship with the Lord, and of course that is important, we should have that desire, but the Lord is not bound by that. He is completely free to accept us, to embrace us, or even to put us into difficulty or push us far away from Him. Adarshanam marma atatvarodhva yathasada vidadadulam. Still, the devotees from Matrana, they were my Lord, unconditionally. Bali Maharaj also observes here that trying to merge into the existence of the Lord or trying to know God without surrender, as is attempted by mystic yogis, is not very fruitful, because whatever you achieve, that is also achieved by demons. Merging into the existence of God. This is quite a popular concept in the world. People think about some kind of either nirvishesh or shunyavad. Either of these two philosophies, or both of these two philosophies, are quite popular in the world today because they are minus surrender, and especially in this Kali Yuga, people are not inclined to surrender their lives to anyone. All of the bad qualities of the human being are brought out in this Kali Yuga. It is a dark age, age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So, especially arrogance, lack of surrender, pride, false pride, Ishroham, I'm the controller. How anyone can think that he is the controller in this world is quite amazing. In fact, it is ludicrous. There's a famous example that Prabhupada commented on of Swami Viv, who went to America and gave a lecture before a large gathering. It was the World Council of Religions. And each and every one of you is already God. So why should you come to worship God? But in the same meeting, Swami Vidya got a very bad toothache, and he had to leave to get some medicine. So Prabhupada commented, how is it that God got a toothache and could not remain in the assembly? What kind of a God is that? Nevertheless, somehow or other, people in this age think that they can become the supreme controller, and naturally they're motivated by a bogey that I'm the supreme enjoyer. Krishna states very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, Pokaram, Yogyakabusam, Sarvalokaheshwara, Suridam Sarvabhutam, Gyakamam Shantirichati, that he is the enjoyer, he is the controller, the proprietor, and he's also the friend of all living beings. If we just accept his supreme dominion over all that be, we just accept his proclamation. If we just accept what is accepted by other great authorities, it's not that we have to accept it on blind faith, or we are the only ones who are accepting God as the Supreme, accepting Krishna as the Supreme. There are so many great men, all of the acharyas accept Krishna as the Supreme. We are very small, and he is very great. We are his Nitya Krishna Das, his eternal servants. But still, somehow or other, belligerent, foolish people, they deny the supremacy of God. And thus, they remain continuously inimical, unfriendly towards, or antagonistic, or competitive. They're competitors. They're not at all surrendered. They're competitors. And therefore, the very best that they can achieve is to become such a big demon that they will be killed by Krishna. Then they can merge in the Brahma-jyoti. Now, mystic yogis, in the guise of self-realization, or in the guise of spiritual life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, after being frustrated in the three purusha, arthas, dharma, religiosity, economic development, and after finally achieving sense gratification and not achieving satisfaction, asantasya kutha sukham. In the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, nasti buddhir ayurvasya, unless you come to the transcendental position, nistragunya, above the modes of material nature, you cannot achieve peace of mind or happiness. Where's the possibility? Ashantasya. If you don't become peaceful in life, if your mind is not peaceful, if your life is not peaceful, then you cannot achieve lasting happiness. The mind's business, sankalpa and vikalpa. The mind is always moving, accepting and rejecting. The mind is constantly agitating. Every action begins in the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing. So, if we don't control our minds, if we don't elevate ourselves, we don't elevate ourselves by our then the mind itself will be dragged away and we will be degraded by our mind. Our mind will become our ripu, our enemy, instead of bandhu, friend. Our mind will become our enemy. We don't have to endeavor to make our mind our enemy. The mind is dragged away by the unbridled senses. Just like a chariot, where the horses are considered to be the senses, and the ropes holding the horses are the mind, and the intelligence is the driver. In the life of a man who has no control, in the life of a man who is simply allowing himself to be dragged through life, in the life of a man who is simply, his only goal is sense gratification, the ropes have fallen loose from the driver's hand. In other words, the mind is not directed by the intelligence, and the five senses, knowledge acquiring senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, tactile senses. These senses drag, they run wild, the horses run wild, and the ropes are dragged along. So the mind becomes the enemy automatically. So a devotee of the Lord, in the very beginning, Tasman Kam Indriyani Ada Niyamya Bhartashvani, controls his senses and controls his mind. Thus, he is able to achieve a state of equanimity, sukha dukkha same. His mind is peaceful, both in happiness and distress. Whereas the mystic yogi, he comes to the point of sense gratification, kama. He does not achieve satisfaction, but instead of surrendering to Krishna, he develops an even bigger ego as a sense gratifier. He thought, I will exploit material nature. I will control and manipulate others. I will enjoy. Demoniac mentality is like that. I will use others for my sexual pleasures, for my monetary gain, for my own service. And if anyone gets in my way, I will kill him, destroy him. More or less to one degree or another, this is the mentality of a materialistic demon. So the yogi, he goes even beyond that. His ego becomes so big that he thinks, now I have not achieved satisfaction in sense gratification. I've gotten wealth. I've gotten servants. I've been famous. But I'm still not happy. Therefore, let me become God. I will become the supreme controller. I will meditate. I will become one with the universe. That is his ego. It's not possible. He is both tuch, he's very small, but he's thinking that I'm controlling the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. How is that possible? You can't even control your toothache, and you're claiming you're God. Simply nonsense, no sense. So, even if you achieve perfection in that mystic yoga, which is not easy, yam, niyam, asana, there's so many processes, 8 They are my preoccupation. All they meet with is glacier, difficulty in their attempt to practice mystic yoga. They don't get any reciprocation with Krishna. Krishna does not help his competitors. God does not give assistance to those who are trying to become God. He does not reciprocate with them. Therefore, they simply meet with difficulty, and if they persist, then the very best that they get is merging into the Brahma-jyoti, becoming a vibrating atom within the light emanating from the body of the Lord. That also is not permanent. A ruyajuchena param padam 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 diada. Ultimately, they have to fall down. They rise up high to Brahman. But again, they fall down. Because there's no shelter there. Just like Prabhupada said, the so-called journey to the moon. Even if they went to the moon, Prabhupada said, what is the benefit? They just came back again. They couldn't stay there. There was no shelter for them. They couldn't breathe the air. It was too rarefied. No oxygen for them. They had to come back down again. So there's no shelter in Vermont. There's no Amrit. There's no nectar. The only nectar that you get from Vermont is the nectar that you might get if your father, sometimes fathers, you know, they grab you by the ear and twist it. Did you ever have your father do that? Sometimes they grab and twist your ear, and you get a lot of pain. Okay, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Then he lets go. That's Brahmananda. That's the Amrit of Brahman. The pleasure you get when your father lets go. When someone twists your arm at school, behind your back and causes you pain, and you say, Uncle, Uncle, I give up, or whatever they say here. So then the person lets go and you feel bliss. Cessation of pain, nirvana. That's Brahmananda. But there's no real purna after which we're hankering. There's no rasa. There's no sambandha. There's no relationship. No loving feeling. So even if you get perfection in Brahman, you can't stay there. You will hanker after something else, and again you will fall down. So Bali Maharaj is saying, what's the use of this? Bali Maharaj would rather be a surrendered devotee. Now, a surrendered devotee means that we may have to learn from our life. Krishna consciousness means always being prepared to see Krishna everywhere in every circumstance. Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna. Krishna is there everywhere within his creation. Just as Prahlada Maharaj told his father, Krishna is there within the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu didn't believe it. So he hid the pillar. And just to prove his devotee correct, the Srinivasa came out from the pillar. Krishna can come out from anywhere. He's there. Everywhere, within every atom, and Andantarastha Paramanam, Jayantarastha Paramanam, there within every atom. He can come out from anywhere. This is all his Maya Shakti. Everything is within him. He is within everything. And yet, he's so wonderful that also separate. This is a chitya shakti. So a devotee is always searching for Krishna, and as such,
The material world is moving under the
influence of the modes of material nature, sarva, prakriti, jagat, naya, or moving by Krishna's arrangement, prakriti, kriyamana, nikunai, karmani, sarva. Ahankara, vimudatma, only a foolish person thinks I am the karta. So we have to be peaceful, we have to see in every situation that Krishna is the controller, and we have to learn from everything. There's something good in everything for all of us. We should look for the good. It is an ill wind that bears no good towards us. It is, in other words, only the worst of situations. There's always something good, even in the worst of situations. So we have to look for that and be positive in our Krishna consciousness. Bhava Maharaj is here stating that he's not aggrieved. He's not distressed. He doesn't even feel ashamed of what's happened to him, because he knows that there's something nectarian within the Lord's purpose. The Lord has a purpose in all of this. How could Bali Maharaj, how could he have controlled the situation? What fault was there in him? What fault was there? This Brahmana, this dwarf Brahmana, seemingly insignificant, seemingly not at all a Kshatriya, not at all powerful, came to him, small boy. Even his own guru could understand that he shouldn't cooperate. Shukracharya recommended avoid this boy. And still, Bali Maharaj acted piously. So what fault was there in him that he should be punished in such a way? Everything taken from him and punished in that way? He thought, no, this is something that is not my doing, it is the Lord's doing. There is a reason for this. There's no injustice in the kingdom of God. I can learn from this. I can go forward. I can become spiritually advanced. That was his attitude. And therefore he is Bali Maharaj, Mahajan, Mahajan Lena Katasapanta. We have to follow the footsteps of Bali Maharaj in every way. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, sir. Loudly.
Bali Maharaj, we have a woman. There is a woman of the way by things, Bali Maharaj.
Partially deaf anyway. I didn't hear you. What did he say? Did he watch it? What did he say?
Bali Maharaj is fully surrendered to Vamandev. Why did Vamandev still punish him?
Bali Maharaj was fully surrendered to Vamandev. So is this the type of reaction you get when you surrender to the Lord that he punishes you? Well, Bali Maharaj didn't take it as a punishment. It depends on how you take it. First of all, the Lord is the most inclined to the demigods. The demons in general are inimical towards the Lord, and he reciprocates with them in that way. Now the fact that Bali Maharaj surrendered to the Lord was beneficial for him, but as Bali Maharaj himself says here, the Lord accomplishes many things at one time, just like the battle of Kurukshetra, or Ritranaya Sadhana Vina Shaya Chasuskritam. The Lord brought many by killing all the kings, as Arjuna rightfully says, he created a situation where unwanted population would take birth. Thus, Kali Yuga would accelerate. He had many different goals on the battlefield. So, Vamana also, he wanted to show that the demigods are always victorious because they are servants of God directly. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Parva Dhanurdhara, Tatra Shiva Vijaya Bhutya Bhutya Nitya Bhutya Mama. And Bali, although he was a devotee, he was king of the demons, so he could hardly reward him. That would have not exactly been appropriate. He rewarded him, but in a different way. Externally, whether Bali surrendered or not, Vamana would have defeated him. The fact that Bali surrendered, he got the benefit. But still, it's a good question. We have to be prepared. Adarshana, Marmada Sarupa. Krishna is our Rana, even if he punishes us after we surrender to him. Krishna is not bound to reward us for surrender. He can do anything he likes.
He explained in the previous two verses why he is punished.
Why?
He explained in the previous two verses what is the punishment that is called the punishment.
Yes. What is that punishment?
He says that even though it externally appears to be punishment, but the blessing in disguise.
Yes.
Taking off all material forces.
Narada Maharaj said that in the previous two verses, this punishment is actually a blessing in disguise. To be humbled by the Lord is a blessing. Yes.
He said that definitely externally the Lord wanted to give back the kingdom to Indra because it belongs to him. But I was also thinking that this kind of dealing Krishna is always doing.
This kind of dealing?
That he did with Bali, Krishna is doing always. For example, he himself, he was having a nice job, and he was having a nice house, nice place, he was living 1 week back. And he surrendered to Krishna, and look what happened to him. His head was shaved, he was given very bad clothing. He's meant to sleep on the floor.
Yes.
So for ordinary person, he's not thinking, this is bad. All his parents and other materialists might think that, well, look what happened to him by surrendering to Krishna. But it is always described that Krishna gives himself. In the process of devotional service, Krishna offers himself, which he never gives for any other person. So actually, Bali Maharaj also got Krishna himself because he went to the lower planet, the system. Vamana became his doorkeeper. So actually, whatever that is, he got the personal association of the Lord, which we were not. So in the same way, we have to know what is it that is our real gain. You know, materially it might look like what is not required is taken away, but in the process, Krishna gives himself.
Stating that this Prabhu here, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but he himself is an example of someone who had some material opulence and he decided, oh, I will become a devotee of Krishna and everything is very nice and happy, but Krishna actually took everything away and shaved his head and made him, you know, appear seemingly punished him. Actually, If you want material facility or material opulence, then you should become a devotee of Lord Shiva. But Krishna's devotees, partially due to the curse, what does that curse? Lord Buddha was, how does that go? The demigod stopped coming here to this planet, and there was a curse that Vaishnavas will always be poor. Yes, exactly. Anyway, Rasharaj is saying that we have to be prepared to see what is actually a blessing, because Krishna gives himself, and that is the sabse kimti chiz, the most valuable thing, is to get Lord Krishna. So, now you have Lord Krishna, so you have to be satisfied here.
What makes the Riman to be so powerful? Because is there any ordinary human being, everything we see, they are suffering because of the karma, we say. But how the Riman are not being suffering, but they are in full power, full everything.
Okay, this is a question which is sometimes very often asked, and that is, I know so many people who eat meat, smoke cigars, and kill people, and they're very wealthy and powerful, and they're enjoying life, so why, what makes a demon so powerful? Well, the best of demons, as Prahlada Maharaj said to his father, who asked the same question, I get my power from the same place you get your power from, Father, from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Demons may appear to be enjoying life, and they may appear also to be going without punishment for their sinful activities. But generally, always, you can see, if you see over a longer period of time, everybody must be punished for their sinful activities. Someone may go a long time without being punished. So people may lose faith, or they may become bewildered by that. Why should I practice austerity when this person is sinful and they're enjoying life? Well, there's a lot of different things you could say about that. First of all, it's debatable that a sinful person is actually enjoying life. You don't know. Our problem is that we only know really what's happening in our own body and our own mind. We really don't know for sure what is going on in other people's minds. And although a demon may appear to be happy, but in his heart and in his mind, he may also be suffering. Kansa, although he was a big demon, but he was constantly in fear of being killed by Krishna. And there are many examples in history of big demons who are constantly in fear of being killed by other big demons, or having their wealth and power taken away by even their closest associates. And therefore you find people like Lenin, who would, anybody who got even a little bit powerful in his regime would immediately kill them, because he was very much fearful. So it's hard to say whether they are actually happy by their sinful living.